Now it's time for Jenny Marcroft from the New Zealand First Party.
That's right. We spoke to Jenny again this week, who is a list member for New Zealand First. I caught up with her before she was heading into a select committee regarding charter schools. I started by asking her how Kingi Tauruas Tangi was up north.
That's been a really fantastic experience. It's always amazing to be part of tangihanga, particularly for our kaumātua, and particularly for someone like Kingi, who, as a broadcaster in my previous incarnation, having seen Kingi and heard his kōrero over the many years, now being in a political environment and having his kōrero very much part of that political landscape, and now that voice has been silenced.
I suppose the thing that came up in terms of your work, we had the Auckland Council's 10-year budget announcement this week, and they've allocated $311 million specifically for, well, pest and disease in our environment, but they noted Cody Dieback in that. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that's fantastic, because what we've seen over the last 10 years under the national government is, yes, they did spend around $26.4 million in Cody Dieback, but really it just did not make any difference. There was no headway gained. We need to really throw the kitchen sink at it. So with the Auckland Council putting in money, fantastic. We have a crisis. This is an absolute catastrophe. If we lose these kauri trees, they're our taonga, you know, who will New Zealand be if we don't have these iconic species? So absolutely the council taking this initiative is fantastic. It's going to be backed up very shortly. The Minister for Conservation will be announcing a new package looking into Cody Dieback already. We've spent in the last 6 months another around $6 million has been put into it, developing further research and science, because that's the way that we're going to be able to combat this very nasty pathogen. We know quite a lot about it already, but we haven't yet found what is going to take it out, what is going to kill it, so that we save what remaining Cody we do have.
Is that going to be enough in terms of, yes, you're providing perhaps the tools in order to combat it from a scientific or from, you know, the pest point of view, but what about people's attitude to it? There are still a large number of people that, you know, like to go and walk in the forest. How do we shift that mindset?
Well, absolutely. That is a key factor. We need New Zealanders to be mobilised in the fight of Cody Dieback. We need New Zealanders, as well as tourists who come in to enjoy walking in the bush. We need them to buy into this as well, and that's what has not happened to date. The information that we have received from those that are working on the ground in this already is that there hasn't been a coordinated approach, and that needs to happen right across all of the industries that are working in this. You know, Forest and Bird, Scion is now involved, there's Healthy Trees, Healthy Future Project that is coming into play as well. All of those Cody ambassadors, we have a little forest in Wentworth, which is, we have the McKinney Cody there, it's 7 metres, it spans 7 metres, it's over 800 years old, it's the largest Cody on the east coast. There's no Cody Dieback in that small forest, so that's because our Cody ambassadors up there, from 1992, they started putting in pathways, they started building platforms, so, you know, and they've built their own walk-through cleaning stations. So the more we have coordinated approach on the ground, the stronger the message will come across, because pretty much people are ignorant of how important it is that we take urgent action now to ensure we don't lose any more trees.
So is there money in that allocation, is there money going towards education around this issue?
Well, I think that'll be one of the specifics being looked at when that allocation is rolled out and announced. That's coming out in the next month or two. I don't have the specific details on the timing of that, other than that it is imminent.
Awesome. You're going into select committee. What's this for?
We have an education select committee. We often have our hearings during a recess week, so it just means that particularly rather than having everyone come to present to us in Wellington when we are down in Wellington during sitting weeks, we are able to move around the country to where the people are so that they can come and present their evidence. So this morning we've got the Education Amendment Bill, which we are having hearings on, also the Education Teaching Council of Aotearoa Amendment Bill, and so those are the two hearings that we've got coming in. So that should be a very interesting day. We have presenting to us the Vanguard Military School today, the Tertiary Education Union and Unitech Institute of Technology, amongst a group of others coming in to present. Today's one's predominantly about charter schools and national standards.
And where does New Zealand First sit in terms of charter schools?
Oh, absolutely. We believed, and we've been campaigning on this for the last 6 years, that these schools should sit inside the Education Act 1989, inside that umbrella, and we've always advocated for that to happen. We believed that charter schools should be working inside that Act, and that under a special character school was the appropriate place for them. We believed that previously it took too long. The paperwork, the red tape was very difficult, and that's why when charter schools came in, those schools chose to opt for that, because it was actually a much quicker process to get their schools up and running.
So how will New Zealand First, particularly because these charter schools, or some of them are within the regions, how are you going to ensure a sort of smooth transition into that public system?
Well, there's been generally quite a relatively smooth transition into the public system already. For example, the school up in Whangarei, they have complied with all the requirements. They've had discussions with the minister, and they've been able to easily transition. The Ministry of Education, of course, has been actively consulting with all of the schools, and that has been really a key feature in ensuring that they're able to transition in a relatively smooth way, so that there is no great effect to the children, because ultimately it's about their education.
We've been speaking with Jenny Marcroft from the New Zealand First Party.
The Wire.